The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
And here with some agricultural programming, in this case the pre-opening market report, Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Jay, and good Thursday morning, everyone. USDA this morning released its export sales data for the week ending August 10th. It looks like this: wheat, 14.2 million bushels, corn, 63.3 million, and soybeans, 26.2 million. We'll discuss the implications of those numbers for the opening bell of the Chicago Board of Trade in just a few minutes with Ellen Dearden of Ag Review. The Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Wednesday, August 16th, negotiated swine purchases were 12,521 for the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis. The base price range was $64 to $72.50. The weighted average was $67.40, a gain of 8 cents from Tuesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $51 to $56.02, and the weighted average was $54.28. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were $15,058, the base price range $63 to $74, the weighted average $71.19, a gain of $1.02 from Tuesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $49.61 to $59.50, and the weighted average was $54.63. Buying interest today reemerged in the Western Corn Belt due to some pork plants reportedly needing additional hogs for this week's slaughter schedules. Buying interest in the Eastern Corn Belt may not be as brisk, however. Terminals called mostly steady today, tops from $47 to $51.50. Peoria steady today with a top price of $47.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather, AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser. And Ed, you and I are going to be at the Decatur Conference Center this evening, aren't we?
Yeah, I think so. That's the plan. And we'll be in Lafayette on Saturday as well. And I'm heading out to Agronomy Day here probably in less than 2 hours. So getting out all over the place. And as far as the weather goes in the Midwest Corn Belt, some rain has fallen already in the western areas during the last 24 hours. Thunderstorms occurred from north-central Kansas through eastern portions of Nebraska and into parts of Iowa, much of Iowa getting some rain already. And amounts in a few spots did exceed 1 inch, but most amounts were less than a half an inch, widely variable amounts with thunderstorms. And there were also thunderstorms in some of the spring wheat belt occurring from the eastern Dakotas into northwestern Minnesota. Now, over the next few days, showers and thunderstorms will be moving across the Midwest Corn Belt, bringing some moisture to help fill the soybeans and fill out some of the corn kernels out there. Most of the Midwest already has had plenty of moisture here to get the crops into good shape for the latter stages of development. And it looks like after that rain, we're going to have seasonable temperatures through much of next week, and then there are indications we'll have some surges of cooler air. So we go into the last week of August, the outlook is for temperatures to be generally running below average in the eastern portions of the U.S. and above average from the Rocky Mountains out west. And it looks like with the transition, we may see a few more showers and thunderstorms from time to time, but I think a little bit drier weather will be coming in after this weekend. We'll have another round of showers the middle of next week, but maybe not as extensive. So the weather is looking really good for crop development the rest of August into early September. Now, I know every time there's a surge of cool air and we're heading towards September, the question comes, are we going to get an early frost? And there's no way to know for sure this far in advance, because that is something that's not dependent on long-term trends. To get an early frost, you just have to have a bunch of ingredients come together all at the same time, and usually you can't identify that accurately more than a few days in advance. So right now we're not going to worry about that, but I know that's a question that comes up anytime you say the words below average for temperature at this time of year. And you could go through 3 months in a row of below average temperature here going into the fall and not have an early frost, because that frost is an extreme event, and it's just one day out of several. So that's an extreme event that usually just comes up on you with only a few days notice. Now, as we look at the trends and the long range outlooks, we have the new maps in for September. It looks like most of the nation is under equal chances of above, near, or below average temperature and precipitation. So the Climate Prediction Center's outlooks for September really don't yield too much information. There is a bit of a tilt in the odds to warmer than average in the southwestern U.S. from California to West Texas and in upstate New York into New England. In rainfall, there's a tilt in the odds to wetter than average for September in South Georgia and far southern South Carolina and much of Florida, and a tilt in the odds to drier than average out in the northwest, in Oregon, northern California, Nevada, much of Idaho, Utah, northern Arizona, western Colorado, southwestern Montana, and southeastern Washington State. So it looks like one area that may start to turn drier significantly over the next several months will be the Pacific Northwest. And as we look farther out, the September through November 90-day outlook, it looks like, again, tilting the odds to a bit drier than average here in the Midwest when you look at those 3 months as a whole, and wetter than average in the Dakotas back into northern Colorado, and dry in the Pacific Northwest still, warmer than average across much of the nation. So that implies that October into November we may be running a little warmer than average in many areas. That's a look at the growing areas. I'm meteorologist Ed Keyser.
And again, Ed Keyser and I will be at the Decatur Conference Center in Decatur this evening at 7 o'clock for an AM 580 Agricultural Outlook meeting. Among the guests will be U of I basketball coach Bruce Weber and traders from Chicago, as well as the brokers from Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. There's still time for you to get in on that meeting today. Just call 866-837-9027. Let them know you want to come.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.
In the Wednesday overnight trading session, Kansas City September wheat opened at 451 and a quarter, down one, last trade up one and a half. December, 468 and a quarter, up one and a quarter, last trade up one and a half. September wheat at the board of trade opened at 371 and three quarters, up a quarter, last trade up two and a half. December, 392, up a half, last trade up two and a quarter. September corn opened at 221 and a quarter, down a quarter, last trade up two and a quarter. December, 238 unchanged, last trade up two. March, 252 and a half unchanged, last trade up two. July, 270 and a half, down a half, last trade up two. Redline December, 288 and three quarters, unchanged, last trade up a half. September beans opened at 551 and a half, down three quarters, last trade up one and a quarter. Noves, 565 unchanged, last trade up one and a quarter. March, 588, up one, last trade up one. July, 605 and a half, up a half, last trade up three. September soybean meal opened at 159.50, up 30, last trade up $2. September soybean oil opened at 25.17, up two, last trade down 17. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of AgriView in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Morning, Dave.
Great export sales today in corn.
Oh, yeah. They were talking about good export sales. So old and new crop, however, came in above expectations at around 64 million bushel. That the high end of the trade estimates was 59 million. So that was really a nice sign. Talk about rain, how much help that'll bring right now. The kernel fill may be kind of a moot point. The funds are still getting out of the long positions. I think they're getting close to being cleaned out. The tighter basis, we have that basis tightening at tops and bottoms, and it sure isn't a top. So I'd say the corn market's up 1-3 for the opening.
Soybeans exports pretty good if you add old and new together.
Yeah, they sure were. The trade was looking for the high side of things, around 22 million bushel. We came in at 26 million. That, I think, looked pretty good. We fell off yesterday on some technical selling, and it came kind of easily. That does have me concerned, but I still think we'll be a penny, maybe 2.5 higher today at the open.
The wheat, 14.2, and boy, we need some export sales there to find a bottom in this wheat market.
We sure do, but it seems like the French wheat's just so much more cheaply priced that they're getting quite a bit of export business in addition to the Australians and Argentines. Front long liquidation's kind of the story there. I think we'll see a little spillover buying from the corn and the beans and the wheat this morning, steady, maybe a penny and a half higher.
And quickly calls over at the Merck, please.
I think we'll be really lightly mixed in the cattle ahead of this cattle on feed report, looking for big numbers there. Hogs, maybe up a quarter to a half. Cash market looks firmer.
And very quickly, does the trade believe that big placement number?
Right now, I think there's a lot of skepticism about it. Everybody knows there's been a lot of in movement in the drought areas into feedlots earlier with the calves, so expectations are if that number is up that much, it'll all be in very lightweight.
Thanks much, Ellen. Ellen Dearden of AgriView, you're listening to WILL Urbana.